If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Today is Saturday, August 29th. Welcome to our weekend episode of The Newsworthy called Special Edition Saturday. Today, after another week of protests stemming from a white police officer shooting a black man, we'll hear a perspective from someone who knows what it's like to be both a police sergeant who patrols the streets and a mother who worries for her four black sons. Retired Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey is an acclaimed author of the autobiography Black and Blue and a 20-year veteran of the Los Angeles Police Department. In this interview, she shares her experience from within the third largest local law enforcement agency in the country, and she gives her thoughts on the recent calls to defund police. Of course, we know there's a lot of debate about some of these issues, and this is only one person's experience and opinion. We hope her perspective, as both a police expert and social justice advocate, will add to that ongoing conversation. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Sergeant Dorsey. Thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
I want to talk to you about the fact that you have these two really important perspectives as both a mother of black sons and as someone who spent decades with the LAPD. Do you think each of those roles impacted the other at all? And if so, how?
Certainly being a black woman probably had the most impact because I'm that all the time and first. And then being a mother of four sons shaped, who I wanted to be once I joined the LAPD. Because listen, I joined at a time when, folks who look like me really didn't like the police. And what I knew about what I had experienced via family members and friends growing up in South Central Los Angeles, I knew that I wanted to be a very different kind of police officer than the ones that I kind of had in my mind.
Yeah. And did it then change at all your conversations with your sons or your family after your experience as an officer?
Well, it never changed the conversations that I had with my sons, because what I taught them as they were growing up, and their father is also an LAPD officer. But what we taught our children is to be respectful, be polite, follow orders if you are ever stopped by the police. And if you have an issue or a problem, then you come home, you tell us, and we'll resolve it in a way that we know makes the most sense to get the proper resolution, right? Don't hold court curbside is what I used to always tell my sons.
What, if anything, within police culture and training, from your perspective, working as a police sergeant, contributed to the death of George Floyd and the many others like him? Or is it just the individuals and the so-called bad apples?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's certainly police culture because, listen, police have always been heavy-handed in black and brown communities, poor white communities. And when complaints were made, we were kind of foo-fooed away and, minimized and mitigated the bad behavior. And so I think it sends a message to officers that it's okay. If there's no consequence, if you don't do anything to deter bad behavior, then errant officers continue to misbehave. And it's not until it makes national news that we see police chiefs on TV clutching their pearls as if this is something new. We know, for instance, in the case of Derek Chauvin, that this wasn't anything new to him. He had been involved in 18 personnel complaints and was well on his way to 19, but for he killed someone. And so they had to deal with him.
Do you believe in a national database to be tracking some of these complaints against officers?
I think having a national database is a good first step. But listen, it's not like he wasn't already on a database. It wasn't like they didn't know who he was. I'm sure he was on a list. We had a list when I was on the LAPD back in the day of officers who were involved in uses of force that seemed disproportionate to the rest of the rank and file officers. And so they knew exactly who Derek Chauvin is. So creating a national database is great, but what needs to happen is accountability. You know who the bad apples are, you know how they've been misbehaving. So what are you going to do about it?
And I'm curious your take on de-escalation. How much training do police officers get to avoid confrontation in the first place? And on the flip side, how important is it for officers to also be ready for those unexpected worst-case scenarios?
I think the amount of training probably varies from department to department, depending on the size and the financial resources that are available. Certainly here on LAPD, we were required to have so many hours of training in use of force, law, de-escalation techniques. And so you play like you practice, right? And so if you're well-trained and you have been paying attention, you know how to de-escalate, you know when to de-escalate. I didn't, as a female, take it personally if someone was profane, angry, ran away from me, abusive, non-compliant, because they don't know me. It's not because of who I am, it's because of this uniform that I wear. And so when officers don't rely on their training, when they get personally invested, when they, what I like to refer to as contempt of cop, you make one mad, there's a price to pay. And that's not part of our training. But again, if there's no accountability, if there's no consequence, when officers deviate from policy and training, then why wouldn't I misuse, mistreat, abuse someone again?
Some police departments have worked with diversity training. What does that typically mean inside the police department? And have you seen it actually work at all?
Well, it means that, you know, we have to sit down and be subjected to in-service training. And I can tell you, having spent 20 years in patrol, that a lot of times it's not well received. You know, we patrol officers don't like to be forced to sit and listen to a thing. And a lot of times there's a lot of eye rolling going on. And then once that course is over, you know, we've got however many hours they were forced upon us, 4, 8, 12, 20, whatever. And we go back to the field and some of us continue to do the same things that we've always done. Again, unless and until there's personal accountability, officers are going to continue to do that thing that they do, no matter how much training they have, if that's who they are. And that's why I think it's so important that officers are psychologically reevaluated. And I'll just say every couple of years, just to make sure that their heads are in a good spot because of, you know, the things that we see day in and day out, it can twist you because of partners, circumstances, environment. You can get jaded very easily. And I think it's important to know if someone comes with biases or if they develop them once on the job to help them on to another profession where their skill set is better suited. There's no problem and harm in that, in my opinion.
Anything else from kind of behind the scenes that you think is important for people to know about what goes on?
Well, I think it's important for people to know that they have a role to play. I think community has a part to play. I think it's important for officers to come from that community. So I encourage people to join, get on. You can make change from the inside better than you can from the outside. It's important for folks to know that you have to vote. Every police chief serves at the pleasure of an elected mayor or city manager, and elected officials understand votes. And so while there's a part to play on both sides, I think the onus is on the police department, because after all, we're the professionals. We're well-trained and we know better, therefore we should do better.
And talking about what elected officials are doing, there are now calls to defund the police. And I know that that can mean very different things depending on who you talk to. It doesn't necessarily mean get rid of the police departments, but then instead to reallocate some of the police funding. What are potential pros and cons of a plan like that from your perspective?
Well, I can tell you as a patrol officer and supervisor that reallocating money means nothing to me as a patrol officer. It doesn't affect my day-to-day activities. Having clinicians to respond to mental health issues is helpful. I don't say no to anything. It would be helpful, but if I conduct a traffic stop, I don't necessarily know, how would I, that the driver is a diagnosed schizophrenic or bipolar. I don't have the ability to freeze frame and call a clinician. And so that's why training, common sense, empathy, relatability, all has to come into mix. And then just this officer has to have a core that allows them to be human with another human being, whether they look like that officer or not.
What would you say to somebody who does feel like we should get rid of police departments?
There's a certain segment of society that would want the police to be gone. Why? Because they're going to prey on those individuals who are less than, who are not physically capable of standing up to. And so police are needed. They're there for a reason. I think by and large, the majority of police officers come on for the right reason. They do a good job. I certainly had that experience in my 20 years working with professional, compassionate, police officers. But, you know, we have to be honest. There's a few who really should not be on the job.
Any final takeaway you want to leave our audience with?
I guess the final thing that I would say is what I say to my own children, which is no matter the encounter with a police officer, the goal is to survive that encounter. Both sides want to go home at the end of that interaction.
As always, you can read more about our guest in today's show notes. Also, don't forget to tune in to our regular episodes Monday through Friday when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. Thanks again for joining us. I'll be back Monday with your news roundup. Have a great rest of the weekend.